Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. From tomorrow morning, they're off limits if you're under 16. And adults won't be unaffected either. You'll have to verify your age to stay on. So what will this mean for you? You're about to hear from Australian eSafety Commissioner Julie Inman-Grant, who is leading the crackdown, but I really want you to be part of the conversation this morning. Julie Inman-Grant, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you. I've got three teenagers sleeping upstairs who haven't raised their heads yet. So,
well, if they wake up and they've got a question for you, chuck them on the phone, hey?
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of conversations have you been having in your home about this year?
Well, I've got a little bit of a laboratory here to kind of, I guess, gauge the entire national sentiment. I have an older teenager who said, why wasn't this in place when I was struggling all those years and coming up against bullying and having all these unrealistic expectations? And I have boy, girl, 13-year-old twins. And so they're right in the sweet spot. They've just gotten used to using social media on a regular basis after saying that they were the only kids in the entire country who didn't have a smartphone. My son's pretty unfazed, but it's really distressing for my 13-year-old daughter, who feels like she's built her social life and a lot of her world around social media. And I think this will probably be representative of the broader population in that some kids will struggle with the transition and some will do so more seamlessly. And part of that has to do with the parental scaffolding and support we provide, but also the strategies that they undertake to prepare for this. Doing things like making sure that they're setting up group messenger or WhatsApp chats with friends or exchanging phone numbers. I was asked yesterday if it was too insurmountable for kids to share phone numbers because they didn't know them. And I didn't think that that was probably something that they couldn't overcome.
I think I could still rattle off some of my best friend's phone numbers from when I was a young teenager.
Well, I mean, we have been made dumber, haven't we? Because we just program numbers into our phones. So we're not forced to remember numbers like we used to.
I do want to talk a bit about the logistics of the ban. It's been a really big, long run-up. There's been a lot of questions along the way. What happens at midnight? Do you have a great big red button on your desk that you just like push?
Oh, that would be so cool if I had a big red button, but I don't. So the way that the legislation was set up, it puts the burden on the platforms themselves to take reasonable steps. And when we developed the regulatory guidance, I did not presume that I would understand the company's technical infrastructure or user base better than they would. But what I have done is I've delved really deeply with all of them to understand what kind of age inference tools they're using now, what kind of AI tools. And then, of course, the government tested 50 different age assurance technologies through an age assurance technical trial. And, the overall finding was that the industry and the technologies have matured enough so that they are operational. About a third of them received the highest technical readiness level. And it was not only tested for accuracy, efficacy, and robustness, but also to ensure that it was privacy preserving. So when the company said to me earlier this year, oh, the technologies don't exist to do this. And I said, well, you're targeting me with deadly precision. Just when I physically looked at a dress at a store and somehow it popped up on my Facebook feed, I'm sure you can do this. But it's not going to be without its teething problems. I do believe they have the technical capability. I've been saying it too much, but they do, and they can. How well they execute in the initial days and weeks will be interesting and telling. But the way that my powers kick in tomorrow, I will have information gathering powers. Well, I will be able to ask them a series series of questions on December 11th, like how many accounts of under 16s that you've identified did you deactivate? You know, how many times have people tried to get around the system and been successful? How many, you know, how many times have they created fake or imposter accounts on the same device? How many have tried circumvention through VPNs or age spoofing around the age assurance systems? So I expect that all of these things will happen because teenagers are extremely clever and they're ingenuitive, and that gives me great comfort because they will be the leaders of tomorrow. But we've got to focus on the longer game and hold the course. That's what I've said to my team. People seem to want to tear down the idea, but most parents think it's a great idea and they want the support of the government here. And a lot of teenagers we've engaged with say, well, yeah, I mean, I don't want the FOMO. And if I'm not the only under 16 that doesn't have social media and my friends aren't supposed to have it too, I feel better about not having to constantly scroll or constantly keep up and create this rock star confected version of myself.
You are listening to Life Matters. Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, chatting with Julie Inman-Grant, our eSafety Commissioner here in Australia, about the social media ban for under 16-year-olds that comes into effect tomorrow. What do you want to know about the ban that comes into effect tomorrow? On the text line, there's a lot of questions about safety and privacy. One person says Medicare holds most people's date of birth. Did you consider a government statement based on that as proof of age? It seems preferable to facial recognition scans that might be abused later or the other hoops kids might have to jump through. Another person says, I want to know what the options are if you refuse to provide ID or your biometrics to large social media companies. I don't presently trust them with my personal data. Why would I give them more? And Will says, won't uploading identification documents onto third-party platforms cause a large and unjustifiable security risk to Australians? Doesn't this also undermine freedom of speech due to anonymity now being impossible? Do you really trust social media platforms with our data? Julie, what do you say to those concerns?
There were a lot of questions there. Should I take each one in turn?
If you like, yeah. I feel like there's a theme. There's themes there around anxieties about privacy.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is why this is a really unique bill, in that there are two regulators involved, me on the safety side, but also the privacy commissioner, to ensure that all of these technologies are being implemented in a safe, privacy preserving and secure way. And she will be able to take on these platforms if they're not doing that in that way. And I should note, like I said before, when we tested these 50 or so technologies as part of the government's age assurance technical trial, we looked at whether they did this in privacy preserving ways. And I guess what I would say is, I mean, I think this is kind of a sad state of affairs, but the horse is already bolted in terms of these companies having your data. I mean,
but then
this
we're looking
why we
at giving
have free
them
services.
More. But then we're looking at giving them
no,
more.
No, we're not actually giving them more. That's not how the age assurance technologies work. And it depends on which one they're using. But nobody would accept that a biometric scan of your face would be stored somewhere and to create a honeypot. The way a lot of these technologies works is it takes an instantaneous scan of your face. It will say, give me a few minutes. It will go back and it will check the biometrics. And then they take essentially an encrypted hash of this. So every time, and it will be on your phone, and every time you try and enter, what it will ask you for is what they call a liveness test. And that's when you take a selfie. And that is to prove that you know, the scan they have, that you are that person behind the screen. So these had to be done in privacy preserving and secure ways. And this is how they have evolved significantly over the past 2 or 3 years. I think the other thing that's important to note about the legislation itself, and this is reflected in the regulatory guidance, is that no Australian, particularly young people, can be compelled to provide their digital or government ID. That can be one of the methods, and you won't be surprised to know that for people of an older vintage, we've been doing 100 points of ID for years and years. Mm. So older people are generally more comfortable with that, but are really uncomfortable with the idea of scanning our face for biometrics. But the younger generations are much more comfortable because they've been opening up their Apple iPhones through facial analysis and taking selfies for their endless snap streaks. So this is something that they're comfortable doing. It's going to depend on person to person. And this is why we've said to the platforms, you need to give users choice. So some of the platforms like TikTok has provided a third option, which is called parental vouching. Snap has also used a third option, working with an Australian technology called Connect ID.
Julia, I might just interrupt you just for a moment. We're just going to do some troubleshooting on your line. You sound a little bit like a robot, and we want you to be understood clearly. You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking with Julie Inman-Grant, our eSafety Commissioner, about tomorrow's social media ban for under 16s coming into effect. It's something that we've spoken a lot about over the course of this year, and now it's social media ban eve. Your texts have been really informative to helping me sort of shape this conversation. One person is saying, I just want to say to Julie Inman-Grant, effing well done. Thank you so much. What a gutsy call, and I'm thrilled to live in this country that will have this ban. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So very warm praise there. Amanda says the under 16 social media ban won't just make the 16-year-olds prove their age, but everyone on social media in Australia to prove their age and risk their information to being put out there, which is what we were speaking about just before. Lucy Anam wants to know, how will you be supporting marginalised youth, whether it's socially marginalised or via geographic isolation, to remain connected to their support networks? Yes, there's bullying on social media, but often young people find their communities online, regional queer and trans youth, youth with disabilities, etc. This is a report, this sort of to speak to a report that came out earlier this week from QUT, featuring interviews with young people about the ban. Julie, what do you say about perhaps making teens more isolated?
No, I mean, that is an issue I raised early on before there was legislation even tabled. We, of course, do a lot of our own youth research and with vulnerable communities. And interestingly, what First Nations, kids with a disability, and LGBTQI plus kids have told us is that they feel more themselves online than they do in the real world. And it is a way to find their tribe. But they also experience disproportionate forms of online hate and targeted abuse because of who they are. Yet in many cases, they've decided they rather have that connection and just live with the abuse, which I think is a really sad trade-off. Mm. But so as a result of that, this is why Parliament decided to provide two exclusions in the legislation. So one is for messaging sites, and the other is for online gaming sites, where we have a lot of research that says there are some really positive aspects for online gaming. So, for instance, we gave this great NGO based out of Melbourne called Amaze that works with neurodivergent kids funding to write a guide on how to safely engage in online gaming for neurodivergent kids. So we've also put together a statement on children's digital rights and have made a commitment to trying to implement this in a way that we're ensuring that they can connect, communicate, and create. And can I just say that there are so many great NGOs from Project Rocket that works with young people to reach out to Headspace, to Kids Helpline. You know, they're preparing, they're hiring more people to make sure if kids are feeling distressed, they can talk to them. They have a great moderated social media site called The Circle that they're encouraging people to go. And then there are NGOs like Minus 18 who've set up a Discord communications mechanism for LGBTQI youth that want to reach out to others. Mm-hmm. So we've seen a lot of innovation in the youth sector and the mental health sector to try and help address some of these concerns so that kids can set up WhatsApp groups or Messenger groups or even do group chat on FaceTime.
Julie, I'm so conscious that we don't have much more time with you. There's a couple of things I really want to ask you about. Sure. One is that I know you've worked a lot with various social media companies over the course of the year, where I understand that X, formerly Twitter, is the only platform that hasn't publicly confirmed it will comply with the new laws. Can you confirm if that's true?
Well, I actually had a conversation with X a week or two ago, and they actually walked us through how they were going to comply. They haven't communicated to their user base, which is a bit disappointing because that is best practice. But it's actually been announced today that Reddit, who said that they didn't agree with it but would comply, has now filed a high court constitutional case in addition to the one by the New South Wales Libertarians. So, and again, Reddit has challenged the codes of the Irish Online Safety Commissioner. So this isn't totally unexpected.
What's Australia's power to compel the social platforms to conform to the rules?
So we've set out the reasonable steps, and what we'll be looking for is systemic non-compliance. So the companies that do absolutely nothing, or if they use a combination of technology, systems, and processes that seems to be consistently ineffective. We can't expect that things are going to be instantaneously changed tomorrow. I think there will be a difference, but a lot of these companies have very complex systems. Their infrastructure is based in the US. It's going to take time for these to replicate through their systems, and they will get things wrong. But I think it's important that we as parents stay the course. We have the conversations with the kids. I mean, I sat down with my daughter in advance and we deleted her TikTok and Instagram together so she wouldn't have the anxiety of wondering tomorrow whether or not it would be deleted or not. We did that ourselves. And it's important to know that all of these platforms are required to have user reporting cues for parents or educators if a person is a young person is erroneously seen as underaged or their account hasn't disappeared.
Just finally,
so there are lots,
Julie,
of safeguards there.
Just finally, how will you measure success?
Well, I think there are a range of success metrics we're going to take in terms of, you know, the really granular KPIs or OKRs about how many of the known underage 16s accounts they've actually deleted, how much circumvention they have prevented. But we're doing a longitudinal evaluation to look at things over time. Are kids sleeping more? Are they interacting more? Are they out on the footy field? Are they reading books? Is their NAPLAN scores getting better? Are they taking fewer antidepressants? Are their, you know, phone bills less? We'll be looking at a whole range of factors to measure both the benefits but also the unintended consequences.
Really looking forward to that data. Julie, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Julie Inman-Grant is the Australian eSafety Commissioner. The social media ban does come into effect here in Australia tomorrow for people under 16. We're going to keep talking about that this morning. Coming up next, a parenting psychologist and a tech reporter with some tips on how to navigate what comes next, not just for parents and teens, but for all of us as internet users.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.